This is CliffCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Cliff Central.
Okay, all right.
This is interesting.
You know when you've had a tough gym session,
yeah,
where you were pushed to the point where you either almost threw up or you almost passed out because you were feeling that dizzy?
That's always a comforting thought or feeling to have on a Friday.
No,
morning.
That's what this Friday feels like for me. It feels like the end of a hard session.
Yeah.
And I've only got just the tiniest bit of energy left in me before I just pass out.
But regardless, we're here.
We are here, and it is a Friday, and yep, it's Sia and myself and Amanda who are here for now.
Yes.
Because one, Gareth Cliff is running just a little bit late.
But this is interesting. We have so many combinations on the show, and you never know, like, how things are. So case in point, usually, you know, it's Gareth in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And then occasionally when Gareth isn't here, then it's maybe Ben, you know, most of the time. But now I actually haven't been in the driver's seat in quite a while. So now I'm like, oh, actually, hold up. When are my Untapped Talent Days coming back? Is that I can push a button, I can move this, and I can turn that around. It's going to be interesting.
Listen, I would imagine that there are quite a few people who would like for Untapped Talent, aka Tapping the Talent, to come back.
Do you want to put that out there? Do you want to actually, like, you know, address the elephant in the room about the amazing show that I had and that had nothing to do with anything scandalous? And it was just about honing young people's talent.
I really think that that was a missed opportunity where you could have called it Tapping the Talent, and it would have just been, listen, Sia, I am giving you credit for being, you know, one of the few people who always attracted very good looking guests.
It wasn't my fault that my guests who I aimed to just simply profile based on their talents also happen to be good looking.
Yeah, look, I'm just saying that these, you know, your guests were always very good looking, and it you know, I don't know what happened after the show. Did you, you know, call them at a later stage?
Moving on.
Did you then meet for drinks? I'm just saying, you're like, I wouldn't judge you for using your show as a little black book of, you know, people to date.
Anyway.
Yeah.
It's a Friday. That's all that matters. And this is CliffCentral.com. Good morning and welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show. I'm excited. It's a Friday.
Well, look, all Fridays are exciting. I'm just wondering what the agenda for Amanda is this weekend. Because, you know, EastEnders, Fridays are a big deal.
Yeah.
They go into the weekend with a plan, and that plan usually involves copious amounts of shots. Or am I wrong, Amanda? Is this going to be a quiet weekend for you?
I think this weekend is going to be really quiet, actually.
What does quiet mean for you?
Quiet means no, like, going out, so no drinking activities.
So you're going to be sober this weekend?
I am. I have a friend that's flown up from Durban to come visit, and she's 16. And my mom's given me, like, a major talk. Like, if you take her near a club, if you even bring alcohol near her, and blah, blah, blah. So,
yeah, you see, I heard that that's how they get their training wheels in the East Rand. Like, the earlier they start going to the clubs, the better, you know, the tougher it makes them.
Whoa.
That's exactly what I said, because I started going when I was, like, 15. I was like to my mom, I went when I was 15.
Wait, 15 years old, first time you went to a club?
15 years old.
Grade 9?
Yep.
And somebody then obviously snuck you in? Or, like, then...
I've never been asked for ID in my entire life.
Oh, okay.
So...
But now, when you're in the club at age 15, are you also having your first drink at that stage? Or does the drinking start later? Or have you already had your first drink?
I think I had already had my first drink by then.
Jeez.
But then, like, you must remember, bad I was going clubbing with my brother, who's, like, 30. So my mom's like, I'm not happy with it, but because you're going with your brother, it's all right, you know.
You know, speaking of first drinks, it's a good time to try and reflect, like, when, how old you were when you first had your first drink. I remember, no, I couldn't have been in primary school or whatever. But you know, like, so there was this cider called Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, it was a sweet tasting, nice tasting thing. You know, it could have been cool drink as far as I'm concerned.
Mm.
But, you know, every now and again, my mom would indulge. And, you know, it was a case of, like when she's finished with the can, then I must go and throw it in the rubbish bin.
Yes.
But then, you know, like, yes. you know, at that stage, it's alcohol and you're wondering like, ooh, what is this stuff that only adults get to drink? And yeah. then you would kind of like have the last little swig mm-hmm. of the few remaining droplets in the can.
Okay, that I get. So I thought you were like primary school and you were like,
No. So, I mean, I guess I was essentially tasting alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because in that context, then that makes sense because that was my first taste of alcohol as well. But it was because my parents don't drink. So we never had booze in the house growing up. It happened at my cousin's place and there was a family function and was a similar situation. The adults had left. It was like in the garden and the adults had left their bottles and like all my cousins and I started like circling that and we're like trying to down this down.
Mm.
But I was this presumptuous one, still this annoying presumptuous kid who was like, do you know that alcohol kills your brain cells? Do you want to be stupid? Don't do this.
They drilled it in good.
Ugh. Stupid. I had the taste. Bitter as all hell was beer and I still don't like beer to this day. So I was totally put off up until actually funny enough, I was 16 years old and that was the first time, we went to a club with my friends and I. And that was my proper first experience in a club and first experience having booze as well.
Yeah. We didn't really have much of a
clubbing situation.
Not really a big clubbing situation. So, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm in Gwagwa. I'm growing up. Like, clubbing is just on a different level there. And then in high school, I was in boarding school. So, essentially, I was in jail.
Didn't you guys sneak anything in?
No, we did.
That's a picture of, like, boarding school in my head.
No, we did. A lot of girls got drunk for the first time in hostel.
Oh, yeah.
I had my first cigarette when I was in hostel.
Yeah.
So a lot of firsts happened in hostel. But no, essentially you were in a prison. So, you know, you had to try and be creative when trying to go clubbing.
Yeah.
And there was a time where a whole bunch of people were bust. And the nightclub that they used to frequent was exposed. And it was like, ooh. It was like a ring operation that was unveiled and, or rather revealed by the hostel matron person.
Yeah.
And all sorts of punishments were issued to the girls and, you know, they needed to make an example of them and da, 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 da. So that kind of killed our clubbing spirit for a little while as we let the dust settle.
It's like a rite of passage though. Everyone has to go through something disastrous, something crazy. Like when I think back to my first clubbing experience, firstly, because I went to a rah-rah boys school, it was...
Rah-rah
boys school. Morning, Gareth.
Morning.
It was this... New Zealand was playing in Durban. So all of, like, the boots at school, like...
That rugby acts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're going to this club because they know the New Zealand guys will be there. I didn't even know who was who. I couldn't care less at all. So I just, like, tagged along with them. And we didn't exactly think our plan through properly because we then started drinking and it was a great time. And then afterwards, like, oh, shucks, how are we actually getting
get
home?
Yeah.
Long story short, this club was near Moses Mabhida Stadium, if you're familiar with Durban. So we walked at like 2 a.m, scandalous, just so shameful.
No, I mean, you were making a plan.
It was like 12 of us. We walked all the way to the stadium. Yeah. And we found a little corner. We slept there.
In the stadium, like homeless people.
Not even in the actual stadium because we couldn't get through. We slept outside in a little nook somewhere. Yeah,
luckily in Durban, it's always warm. So you're like, you're lying out in the elements and you're fine.
Yeah.
But we stayed for like 20 minutes before security discovered us. They were like, what's going on here? Like, get out of here. They're like, shucks, guys, what are we going to do? One of the guys who we were with came from like a divorced household. So he's like, okay, I'm going to guilt my father into somehow dealing with us. He calls his dad, who he hardly ever sees. He's like, dude, it's time to now, you know.
Time to step in, daddy-o.
Exactly. Yeah. So his father picked all 12 of us
Who's
up
the
in,
daddy?
in like a series of 3 car trips, and we had to go into his apartment building with like 2 bedrooms, and all 12 of us stayed over.
Oh, man.
And that's how our parents still don't know what happened.
But stories are like that. I mean, that's what good memories are built on, you know? Like, that's the kind of story that you can tell and people will be amazed. Like, oh my gosh,
messy.
I can't believe that
Absolutely
happened to you.
Absolutely messy.
It sounds like a lot of people start very early, though, which is probably not the best thing in the world.
Not the best. We are trying to be the most positive role models here.
I leave you guys alone for 10 minutes, and you start coming up with ways for young people to start drinking really early.
Mm-mm. We were just...
I don't believe, by the way, that Amanda is going to have a quiet weekend. I guarantee you when we get back on Monday, there's going to be a different story.
No, Gareth, I don't know. I've got FOMO, hey?
Yeah, look, you've got somebody joining you. She's coming in all the way from Durban. Sure. I tend to agree with Gareth here. I think eventually the pressure is going to have
you. Yeah, and when you get a guest in from somewhere else, you try to show them a good time. Exactly. You don't want them to be bored. What are you going to do? Play Pictionary.
That's exactly what I said to my mom. I'm like, you know, I'm easy. Take me to Durban or anywhere and take me to a club. And I'm the happiest person ever. I said to her, when she got in the car yesterday, I fetched her at the airport, I'm like, Danae, I don't understand what you want to do here. I said, like, if I went to Durban, I'm cool to go to the beach and crush nightclub. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, because that's what you do in Durban. But in Joburg, I mean, you can either get into knife crime or you go out and have some fun at a club. Or I suppose you could go somewhere nice for a meal before that. There's a bunch of kind of soft stuff you can do to start it. But there's going to be a point in the evening where someone's going to go, all right, what are we going to do now?
Mm. Yeah.
Already, like, my cousin Star, the youngest one, who's 16, she says to me, she's like, Amanda, there's a party at Madison's on Friday. So I'm like, oh, Star, I'm like, please, let's not talk about that because I'm actually, like, going to get upset.
Well, at least you'd have parking here at Cliff Central, you know?
Exactly.
That's your only benefit, isn't it?
They're right across the street from us.
Come on, Amanda, just take her. Because now Star's 16, Danae's 16, she doesn't look 16, like, it doesn't matter. And then I was like, I don't know if I should, like, just pull her in like this. I don't know if she's...
Yeah, you're almost like smuggling child soldiers, you know? It's like...
Exactly.
It's not the best. It really is. It's awful.
Yeah, look, good luck, Amanda. It sounds like your mom also, she's just kind of laying down the law.
Look, yeah, but luckily I'm not staying with her. Like, my aunt's gone to Mauritius, so I'm staying at my aunt's house.
Oh,
so my mom doesn't really know God what's going down.
My gosh.
Maybe a house party's a good idea.
Yeah.
Then you don't have to break any rules.
Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah.
But my gran lives across the road from my aunt.
That's fine.
That's fine. She won't hear.
Gran's go to sleep.
She won't.
Maybe, hey.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
And she's 16, hey? She's like a little energizer bunny. She'll, of course, want to do this, that, and everything in between. Like, 16 years old, you're not just going to want to sit at home and do nothing.
Oof. Oh, right then.
Special treat for a Friday.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to talk about this morning. There's plenty going on. I saw that the Tulas Ngesi of the SACP says, look, there may be assassinations.
What?
There may be. Yeah, he said people in the SACP and in the non-Premier League part of the ANC might have to face some very, very tough challenges over the next few days. For real.
An assassination is a tough challenge?
No. Well, he said, listen, we knew what we were getting into when we got into it. This road is going to be difficult, comrades. He said, so just prepare yourself. There may be some dodgy people along the way. There may be smear campaigns. There may be people who come after you for various reasons. Don't let it wear you down. That's from Tulas, who you remember is not to be messed with.
Is he still with Public Works?
I don't know if he's even a minister anymore.
Oh, it's hard to keep up, you know.
It's very difficult because Gedleyihlekisa just gets rid of people. He adds and deletes people like a mad Facebook account, like one of those mad accounts that goes through and cleanses every week and adds new ones every week. You never know whose friends are.
He loves a good cabinet shuffle and a reshuffle and a reshuffle and a reshuffle.
He's more like an obsessed croupier at a casino. Shuffle, 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 shuffle. By the way, I have no interest in going to casinos, but I know some people who do that every weekend. every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's, now, if you
how
do it...
How old are they? Are they like old people? Because I know tons of those.
Not even necessarily. 30s?
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, well, they don't go and gamble hardcore all night. Yeah. They'll go there as part of the entertainment. So, oh, well, let's go for a meal, do some gambling, and we'll go out for a few drinks. But they always limit the amount that they're going to spend. So they say, well, no more than $300 or no more than $500. And they go in there. And if they lose that $500, that was their entertainment for the night. Mm. If they don't, if they win and they do well, they stop at a certain number too. So if they get up to anything up to like, I don't know, 5,000 Rand, mm-hmm. which would be a 1,000% return on your 500 Rand, for example, mm-hmm. then they stop and they go home.
Yeah, I've never really found the appeal of
I don't like it at all.
For me, it's not even about like gambling, because I still think, hey, maybe in Vegas there's a glamorous aspect to it. Have yeah. you seen how sad?
It's sad, right?
Casinos look.
There are these sad people sitting in front of machines going bloodling, 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 and hoping something amazing is going to happen, and it never does.
It's not.
They have to get on the bus afterwards. And go back to the old age home, and there's nothing, nothing more depressing than looking at the rest of the month without any money in the bank.
No. Also, they're far too brightly colored for my liking. There's what too many bright colors in any casino anywhere in the world. It's just too colorful for me. I know it's dumb stuff like that annoys me. But I think in a place like Vegas, because, you know, where, I mean, Americans are all about hype up the entertainment, you know? Mm. I think a place like Vegas would be thoroughly enjoyable.
Yeah, but then you're going like Monte Carlo, Vegas. That's a whole different outfit.
Yeah.
That's
Then you're going for the vibe of the whole thing. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with the casino. I always find it really creepy the way that they block out the sun so you never know what time it is.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have lights running. Yeah. You never know unless you have a watch on. There's never a clock in a casino.
So it is a conscious thing.
Sure. And in casino hotels, they always have blinds or curtains that block out the sun, because a gambler doesn't want to know it's 3 p.m. and they've just got into bed.
Also, I suppose that the longer you're awake, the higher the potential that you're spending money.
Absolutely.
Which is what the casinos want.
Yeah. They want you to spend as much time as possible. That's why they give you all these rewards. You know, like you're an MV something or another, most valued, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And all of the different hotel chains have these things. And let me tell you something. It is not because you're special, and it's not because they like you, and they don't give you a free meal or theater tickets, all that stuff, just to keep you around the casino because they know you're a spender. And they've made hundreds of thousands off of you, so it's worth them giving you a meal every now and then. Don't for a minute believe that they care about you.
Yeah, maybe not.
VIP. Oh, come on.
Okay, so gambling definitely off the cards for
us this weekend. Don't do that, Amanda.
Yeah.
Once at Monte Casino, and I was actually very, very upset when I left. Like, I put in 200 Rand, and not even lots of noise came out of the machine.
Not even noise?
Not even noise.
You didn't even get like, noise for your 200 bucks.
My mom's like, Amanda, that's it. I'm like, are you flipping joking? She's like, no, that
is it.
Oh,
boy.
So I was like, never again. But then... There was like a time at Emperor's where I was like, oh, I'm feeling like lucky, you know, I'm going to go play. And then that was like 300 Rand gone too. So not for me.
Oh, geez. No, not at all.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So the weekend is upon us. So at least that's a good thing. Even though, yeah, no casino, no gambling, but other delightful plans. Anyone, what do you guys have planned for the weekend?
Mother is in town.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Who does she stay with when she's here? Because there's your brother.
It all depends on her mood, to be 100% honest. So currently we are in the middle of...
She's coming to check on both of you, so...
No. Like she, you know, so for now it's the middle of school holidays. So she doesn't really feel like being at my brother's place where all the kids will be. So then she'll come and stay with me. That's right. What I'm saying. Like
less
really,
noise.
Less noise, less being woken up early by, you know, energetic 3-year-olds. So she'll stay with me. So we've got a couple of things lined up for the weekend. As I said, the kids are all here. So we've got to try and keep them occupied. you know, when that Smurf came into the studio yesterday, it gave me some ideas. So I think I'm just going to let my brother know of all the different kids things that are on the roster this weekend.
Oh, but just ask Alan Ford.
Well, yes, Alan I could
Ford
ask him too.
A long list of things that kids can do.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, I don't know. I haven't really decided on concrete plans for what we'll do when it comes to the adult stuff.
Yeah.
But there's time. There's time.
Because with me, I started off this week, you know, by just sliding off the rails, basically. You know, when I just
got off the rails.
This week was a particularly bad week for me in terms of just doing things that are not exactly the most responsible. So,
oh, you mean having a drink at 3 a.m?
I actually think I've gone out or had a drink every second day now of this week. So I was like, you know, let's just carry it on. So maybe while Amanda remains
don't
sober,
punish yourself.
I'll be the one who'll be drinking way too much this weekend. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Did you tell everybody about yesterday?
Where, what in particular about yesterday?
We had a visitor from Poland here, and we sent Sia to Lily's Leaf Farm with them. I don't know if they spent the whole time there, but they probably went out for something to eat afterwards. Yeah. It turned into a thing. Apparently, they got back at, what, 4?
Oh.
Look, I'm a very, you know, I think hospitable so
was,
is the term.
He was like a tour guide yesterday
yes,
as well.
Yes, hospitable is the term.
So when you got back at 4, I mean, what state were you in? Were you...
So we started off, you know, Lily's Leaf is literally just a museum and quite a historic site, which is just down the road from
where
our
studios are.
Buried
Madiba's gun, and
oh yeah,
that's where he was arrested, and blah blah blah.
There's a massive, massive moving story in history behind it. So you know, this is a lady from Poland who you met when you were in Germany, Gareth. So it just happened that she was here just for 3 days in the country. So it took her to see that, you know, and after a while we had soaked that up. We were like, okay, let me show you another aspect of South Africa, which is great wining and dining. And the conversation flowed up until like 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Well
fun.
Worth it. Well worth it.
All right. Well, right now it's time for us to check in on the news with Mubs. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. We've spoken about them a couple of times. You know that we're all fans of what they do. But on Monday, make a note in your calendar now, Monday you get 2 pizzas for the price of 1. That's right. The cheaper one you get for free. So order 1 with whatever toppings you want on it, and you get a second pizza free. It's that easy. There's no complication to this. You have to just go to the Colcacchio's, collect it, and you've got 2 pizzas. It's the best way to feed either a real hunger, if you're the one who's going to devour both of those pizzas, or to treat someone else. Say, hey, you know, I kind of like that friend of mine that I haven't seen in 6 months. Maybe I'll just pitch up at her house with a pizza. Do it. It's the way to do it. And it won't cost you any more. She doesn't need to know that it only cost you 1 pizza.
No, she doesn't.
You're going to think, wow, this person is bawling.
Yeah.
And we can keep it that way. We actually can. All
right. Let's get into the news. Over to you, Mubs.
Have you ever noticed how former President Thabo Mbeki likes to come out every now and again and just give us just a big bucket load of information? He first did it with that series of letters that he would write to us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then yesterday, in a rare occasion, the former president spoke about his life and his work as part of a double celebration of his birthday together with that of Power FM. The station launched yesterday their chairman's conversation, which sees the station's chairman, Given Mkhari, sit down with an influential person and just, you know, have a big fat conversation. So they launched the chairman's conversation last night with Thabo Mbeki in the hot seat. And, you know, the former president says, well, I mean, he said a lot of things. But what really captured people's ears was the fact that he said that there's a serious disconnect between the government and the private sector, which has led to the lack of confidence in our country's economic growth.
Yeah.
He says that confidence in the country can only be restored if both corporate and those in political power work together. Do we ever see that happening? Do we ever see private and government coming together fighting for a common goal?
The Mandela administration and the Mbeki administration did very well to do that. There were public and private partnerships that worked out very well. There were suspicions between the two, but there was also a lot of cooperation. Listen, we wouldn't have freedom if it wasn't also due to some of the efforts of the private sector and some of the efforts of international organizations. Yeah, the ANC wants to claim it was the only organization that brought liberation. Lies. That's not true. They were, of course, the leading organization. They were at the forefront, but they weren't the only one. You can't discount the UDF. You can't discount the SACP. Those are just internally. You can't discount the Helen Suzman Democratic Party. You can't discount lots of other people who had a very important role to play. And among those were people in the private sector who were funding the ANC, who were funding these other organizations. That didn't happen without money. Nothing happens without money. So they helped.
Well, now the former president says that unfortunately we find ourselves in a situation where there's now a serious disconnect between the two entities. So for him, it's all about government and the private sector finding their way back to each other and then fighting for that common goal.
That's what you got to do for the
former president.
Absolutely.
So while Thabo Mbeki was involved in this nice fat chat that he had, opposition parties had gathered together for a meeting in Pretoria yesterday. And then after that meeting, they kind of came out, you know, and they revealed what exactly it is the agenda of the meeting was about. So the parties have urged President Jacob Zuma to urgently set up a state capture commission of inquiry. As per the Public Protector's remedial action, it involved the DA, the EFF, COPE, UDM, ACDP, IFP, and the APC. Now, they made this call following their meeting yesterday. Advocate Busisiwe Mkhwebane urged in court papers this week that the president has no prospect of successfully reviewing the state of capture report. Now, speaking on behalf of all the opposition parties was the UDM's Bantu Holomisa.
Right.
And he said that the president should stick to the promise he made in the National Assembly and establish this commission of inquiry. He should, with immediate effect, withdraw his court challenge on the Public Protector's state capture report and announce the commission. The parties have also called on National Assembly Speaker Baleka Mbete to recuse herself from the debate as well as vote of no confidence in the president. That is all expected to go down on the 8th of August. Remember, the motion was meant to take place on the 3rd, but was later shifted to the 8th. So there's just under a month for a lot of important decisions to be made. Opposition parties are saying that the national speaker should recuse herself. Oh. What are the chances of that happening?
Well, we spoke about this in some detail with Justice Malala yesterday. And you might want to listen to that Burning Platform podcast from yesterday, brought to you by Nando's, and you can find out all that you need to know. But he did go into some of the details around what Baleka Mbete might or might not do and what her duties and responsibilities are. So you might want to hear that.
And then former ANC Member of Parliament, Faki Mentor, is back in the news. She was speaking about her newly published book. It's called No Holy Cows. And she was at the Cape Town Press Club yesterday, where she says that she won't back down from her belief that the president is at the center of state capture. And she says that she's prepared to meet him in court. Kind of sounds to me like maybe she's dropped files in this book that the president might take exception to and then maybe think, I will see you in court, Fakey. That's what it sounds like to me. So she says she is prepared to meet the president in court.
Wow.
Now, Mentor has also accused Zuma of sexually harassing her many years ago. She said, I kept on moving away and he kept moving towards me. She's talking about an incident that involved the two of them. I then took my handbag from the coffee table and put it between us. That is persistence. Mentor says that the ANC is endemically corrupt and that it's going to take a long time for them to recover. She's predicted that there will be a splinter group that will emerge from the ANC National Conference in December.
Wow. Now, that could be interesting.
That could be interesting. We must remember to ask Justice about, you know, what he thinks about this next time he comes into the studio. Now, she said that South Africans can still rescue the country from corruption and state capture, adding, "We should begin to worry about South Africa more than we worry about a party that has got us up to here so far in the mess that we are in." Now, what do you make of that? She says that our priorities might not be in the right place. She says we're focusing too much on the ANC and what they're doing. What we need to be focusing on is how we can save the country from the ANC's doings.
You know what the problem is people have been completely party loyal, and even voters in South Africa are, they feel like they're joined at the hip to a party. And let me tell you something right now, parties don't care about you. No organization does. Not to that degree. You need to care for yourself, and you need to be able to move your vote around as you see fit. But more importantly, these parties need to remember that members come and go, and that the party is always going to be there. But what you need to do is make sure that you and your party fit together. And if you don't find an alignment, you don't have principal agreements with them, leave. Either start your own, like Bantu Holomisa did, like Musio Lekota did, or go to one that exists that accommodates you better. But for God's sake, don't think that you need to be party loyal, because I can promise you the party will turn its back on you like that.
Now, Mentor added that she was not surprised.
She's talking a lot,
No, she is. She really is.
Out of the blue, almost.
Well, no. I mean, she's also one of those MPs that, so she had a falling out with the ANC. Mm-hmm. And every now and again, she'll take to her Facebook page to release a video on something that she feels very strongly about. And listen, she said that she was not surprised at all by the Gupta leaks when they were revealed to us about a month or two ago. She says, no, I wasn't surprised by this at all. You know, this is the same information that I had known for the longest time and had in fact taken to the public protector. So she has been speaking for quite a while now, Sia, after, you know, I suppose what ended up badly between her and the ruling party. But yes, her book is called No Holy Cows. So I don't know, that might be worth an interesting read.
Well, that's why she's talking so much now, because she's got a book coming out.
She's got a book coming out, and she might very well be revealing even more interesting things in her book. So I don't know, if you're keen, if you're interested, you might want to try it out.
Yeah, and she has got a lot of interesting revelations. Remember, she was the first person really to be a whistleblower on a lot of the state capture things around the Guptas. She was the one who said that, oh, the Guptas are offering people cabinet positions, not the president.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Wasn't she herself offered something by the Guptas?
Yeah.
Yeah, and she turned them down.
Yep. She found the whole thing very distasteful, and now she's a pariah. She's out on her own.
Hmm.
She's in the wilderness, and so she's decided to write a book. But these new revelations, I mean, this president, hey, he keeps moving closer to you. He tries to grab your hand.
You actually use your hand bank to physically, like,
as
block
a barrier.
Him. Wow. Well, and at least that's what she says.
Even that doesn't put him off. He's like, groping hands come towards you. Can you imagine? Just a little touch.
No. Oh. I'm just picturing stubby fingers.
Oh, yeah. Like, he likes that. That's his thing.
Grubby man and just nasty. Nasty.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very sexy. He thinks he's a big catch. But why you don't want me? I'm the president.
Yeah, so I suppose any man who lets power go to his head thinks that they're a great catch.
Well, he definitely does. Him... Silvio Berlusconi of Italy. Donald Trump.
What sound was that?
Every time.
Was he drowning in disgust?
No. Is that it? Every time we speak about Silvio, I just think back to that story where who gave who the silk pajamas? Silvio gave our president silk pajamas, or it was the other way around. I just picture these two old men in silk pajamas just not getting up to any good, and it makes me a little bit ill.
Well, a lot of people are commenting on Thabo Mbeki saying, oh, why do they keep rolling him out every time they need someone to speak honestly about Zuma? But he's, according to Roman from the Renegade Report, he's part of the problem. Every few years, the media brings out the washed-up ex-president to talk shit about their successor and slate the nation. Who cares what Thabo Mbeki thinks? He's lost. He lost, and Zuma is using his policies to enrich his cronies. He is a big reason why Zuma is president.
What is the ultimate behavior of a former president, though, because I feel like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. People now say the Obamas are vacationing too much. They say, look at Bill now. He's just, you know, Hillary's little sidekick. What should you do? Just buy a farm, go and live on a farm and never say anything?
I don't know. Who's a good example of an ex-president? Like Madiba just kind of disappeared into, he did a lot of his charity and his foundation work. And then, because he was so old, he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't hear him making political utterances at all.
Mm.
Remember? Everybody was on his case. So why didn't you say something about Zuma? Why didn't you say something about this? It's like he's an old man. Leave him alone.
But what is so different about what Thabo Mbeki is saying now that the rest of us have already been saying? Like, why is he not allowed to say the same things?
No, he's allowed to. But we mustn't imagine that this situation didn't arise from some of his mistakes.
Yeah. But I mean, that's life for you.
And the difference between him saying things that are going on are bad and us saying things that are going on are bad is that he actually helped cause them.
Sure. and that is something that he will have to own.
Right.
On the other side of it, though, I get why he's still speaking, because for him, he isn't at that age, really.
Look, he didn't come running out of his house going, I've got something to say. I've got something to say.
No, yeah. People obviously keep phoning him and they say, oh, please, won't you come and join us on this ABCD?
Right. In this case, it was Given Curry from Power FM.
Mm.
Went out there and, please, come on. No, I don't want. No, I don't want to. Go away. No, please, just leave me. I'm very, very relaxed. No, eventually, you have to give in.
No, he's been busy, you know, with his UNISA work. He's now taking forward his foundation work.
He's the Chancellor of UNISA. You know what that means? Pitching up once a year for the graduation.
Mm, making a nice
Chancellors
speech.
Chancellors don't do anything.
He just has the robe, right?
Yeah.
And the headpiece.
Right.
Whatever that is,
it's a big hat.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Sorry, I just got flashbacks from yesterday's conversation about crowns and hats. Yes.
We don't need to go there again.
We don't need to.
All right, let's check in with Anthea and go straight to the money shot. This is where you get to find out about what's going on in the finance and in the economy today. Anthea's on the line and we'll check in with her. But of course, without checking in on her song, it doesn't start properly. So here it is. Everybody, let's go.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for a honey. She looks hard for the money. So you better treat her right. She looks hard for the money.
Anthea, people love your song, but they love what you say even more.
Good morning, Gareth. Thank you.
Good morning. The weekend's ahead of us. What can we look forward to today?
I've got some good news today.
Yay.
A change.
Let's hear it. Go on.
Yeah, we had another positive day on the market yesterday. The all share was up almost 1%. The rand seesawed a bit in the afternoon, but it did end the day around 13.26, which was slightly stronger than where it started. And then we also had some positive macro data yesterday. I was very surprised, actually. The mining production number increased 3.6% year on year in May. Yeah. So I guess contrary to my feeling that we're not taking advantage of the global growth story, it looks like perhaps that is a nice little tailwind. You know, we're getting a bit of a lift from global commodity prices.
Mm-hmm.
And then resource shares were a bit of a disappointment. The index ended in the red, but then gold spot fell 2% yesterday to below $1,220 an ounce. So our gold shares, which tend to have some level of gearing to the spot price, fell a bit more than the 2% spot. So Harmony was down 3%, Sibanye Gold was down 2.5%, Anglo Gold was down just over 2%. And then the other major indices performed well. Both financials and industrials were up about 1%, or just slightly over 1%. And then, of course, our darling Naspers, the biggest share by market cap on the African continent,
mm-hmm.
was up 2% and looks like it's heading for 2,700 rand a share now.
Again. Okay, well, this is good. We want to get back up to 2,800 and eventually cross that 3,000 mark. Then we'll really be happy.
That is exactly what I'm hoping for.
Uh-huh.
And then retailers also put in a good effort. Woolworths put out a trading statement yesterday, and even though it was released after the market closed, the share closed 2% higher. It wasn't a great set of numbers. Sales growth came in at about 3% to 67.5 billion rand for the second half of the year. But at least the trading uptake was, I think, pretty much in line with what the market was expecting. And I think in this environment, if you're not disappointing, then you're kind of okay. And then I think the one thing everyone probably wants to know about, which I must admit I haven't really had a chance to interrogate, was the finance minister's 14-point plan to revive the economy.
All right. Did you listen to any of it?
No, I read some of it. He's been very specific about it. He's called it the Inclusive Growth Action Plan.
All right. What kinds of things has he implemented here, or what does he want to implement?
So he's saying that government has to focus on economic growth and staving off more credit rating downgrades. Those were the kind of two big things. He's certainly using all the correct terminology, you know.
Well, we agree with that, right, Anthea? We like that.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. You know, he did also say that he wants to continue with the disposal of non-core state assets. And then, of course, he didn't specify exactly which state assets he was talking about. And then he said, he spoke a lot about the budget and about government wanting to reduce the issuance of guarantees to state companies. And he said, especially those that are used for operational purposes. In other words, so extending money to these companies that are just surviving and not using the money to grow, in other words.
Right.
He was quite firm on the fact that South Africa needs to act urgently on these budget targets. But then in the same breath, he said that Eskom would need some form of government support. So either another loan or bond issuance or guarantee or something.
I don't think he completely gets the balance sheet situation.
You don't think so?
Well, am I being unkind?
No, I don't think so.
He doesn't get it.
No, yeah. So that's what I mean. You know, it's a lot of rhetoric and it's a lot of talk, and he's saying all the right things, but there's nothing tangential, tangible. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to do what you say you're going to do is the question.
Right. So a little bit of pie in the sky.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, I don't want to say more about it than that, quite frankly.
All right. All right. Well, besides him and his great and numinous plans for South Africa, about which we know very little detail, but certainly which he wants us to pay attention to, are there any other things that we need to be paying attention to? Are there any downgrades looming that we need to be aware of? Are there any major debts that the government is looking to pay off in the next little while? Are there any macroeconomic factors that have not been discussed so far?
Not really, you know. I mean, I think the one thing that I've been worrying about a little bit this week is talk of increased taxes in South Africa, because if we look at the budget, which is coming up in, when is it, October, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how we're going to balance this budget if we keep having to bail out SAA and Eskom, and it just never stops. And so, of course, today I said we had a little bit of positive news on the mining production, but generally the news is not great, I'm afraid.
All right, someone has a question for you here. Anthea, what's your view on Bitcoin? I invested 100,000 in December and sold on Sunday. It was worth 320. That's a pretty good return.
That's a very good return. So I don't really understand Bitcoin, despite, I must tell you, last week we had somebody from Bitcoin come into the office and try and explain it to us. It's a bit – there's so many things about this, actually. You know, they call they're the keepers of the Bitcoin code, and people who can't – like they have the key and they can't generate more Bitcoins. So demand – supply will always be restricted, but demand will increase, and therefore Bitcoin will always carry on up. But actually, I did see the graph the other day, and it's down about 30% in the last week alone. There are no fundamentals that drive Bitcoin, so other than this software code, basically.
It doesn't strike you as something that you want to bank on?
Oh, definitely not.
All right. Well, I mean, good for Cindy that she got in there early and that she managed to get out just at the right time. I mean, she basically tripled her money.
Absolutely. And I don't deny people like that, you know. So it's not my job to speculate or trade, generally speaking. And so I don't give advice on trading and speculating, which I think Bitcoin is. And of course people make money when they trade and speculate, you, sure, you know, but then a lot of people lose a lot of money.
We never
well.
Hear those stories.
Oh, never. No. Yeah, it's always
Cindy,
a winner.
Something tells me Cindy wouldn't be telling us if she'd lost her money and she now had 50 grand where she had 100 before.
So, exactly. I can guarantee that 2 weeks ago, someone bought Bitcoin. Let's say they spent 100,000 rand and today it's worth 70,000 rand.
Yeah.
Please let us know. I want to know who that is.
Come on, tell us your shitty stories. Don't tell us your good ones. Let's hear the truth.
There you go. So other than what I've just said, I don't really comment on Bitcoin.
All right, Anthea. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend.
Cool. We'll speak to you in the next week. Monday morning.
It's your Monday.
Quarter to. Right. Perfect. Quarter to seven is around about the time that we speak to Anthea every day. And you can get a little synopsis of what's going on in the economy and in your personal finances. And of course, the markets. Lots to talk about. Lots of things to do. Places to go. People to see. Guests coming in the next hour or two. Sia will give us an update on who they are. And we'll talk to you and get your thoughts and your calls and your WhatsApps and your messages. You know how to do that. WhatsApp on 079-748-2090. If you want to Skype in, you can do that on Cliff Central, one word. And I've got good news. We are sorting out our phones. I spoke to somebody yesterday. Finally going to fix those. Because I just can't. If I pick up that phone once more and it makes alien noises, I think I'll lose my mind. I'll have to go to one of those isolated places in the world where they keep mentally unstable people.
Oh.
They lock them in a tower or
something.
We
hope that doesn't happen.
Well, some part of me thinks it might actually be kind of fun, so don't tempt fate.
Will this new phone be mounted to the desk / wall?
So I don't throw it?
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
All right. We'll come back in a moment or two with some news and lots of other exciting stuff. CliffCentral.com. Friday, baby. It's the weekend. Let's go.
This is CliffCentral.com.